subject to revision in Indiana.
Woo! Tell the truth.
Christina.
Hi. So, I'm trying to think through my crazy head right now because I've had a lot of caffeine and not a lot of sleep in the past 3 weeks, but like my life's been like leveling up, so to speak, and I've had more of a sense of self-acceptance than I've had in a long time. But I got asked to speak on two things that I didn't think I was good at, and then I looked them up. So forgiveness, the definition is stop feeling angry or resentful toward someone for an offense, flaw, or mistake. And like when I read that, I put a U in front of that, like talking to myself. And I know how we always say forgiveness is for us to forgive others so that we can move on. But like looking at the definition in black and white made it more apparent. So like to stop feeling angry at someone for something that they did. Like they did, like we didn't do it. It really, like, it gives me that disconnect. And then compassion, sympathetic pity and concern for the sufferings or misfortunes of others, to suffer together. And then for that person to have motivation to relieve the other person's suffering. And like, I feel like that gets me in some jackpots because I am compassionate and I want to fix things and I want to control things. So like, you know, there's that fine line between spiritual principles and character defects, and here we go. So I'm glad that I'm here. I'm really grateful. And I want to thank the committee for asking me to speak because I have to show up for my freaking recovery today, no matter what's going on, because my recovery has to come first. And like when I said, I've been more like pretty much all my square in life, I used to be like all recovery, and I was like, forget about my career because that's not what I'm about. But like the last month, I'm like, it's time to apply myself. And like, I'm putting my job first. And I'm like, I was having the same feelings of, why am I here in my home group? Last week, I think, instead of like doing that at work. And then I always say like balance is a myth in my mind, because in my experience, I'll work really hard in one area and then the scales tip one way or another. But I was talking about this morning, and I feel like it should be like an average over time for balance. But I can start talking about forgiveness. When I got here, I had to start looking at the things I was doing well and not all the things I had done. Because I had to first and foremost forgive myself for being such a self-centered individual during my active addiction and treating my parents like shit and letting all my relationships go. And just understanding, like, I don't have to be that person, and as long as I continue doing the next right thing. That was really big when I first got clean. I would always say, you know, as long as I do the next right thing, everything's going to be okay. And it usually was. I mean, it is, because I'm here now, so it has to be. I'm a firm believer in everything happens for a reason. I had some resentments when I got here, and I still get resentments quite frequently. And they're all based in expectations, unrealistic or realistic, that I have on others. It's not necessarily myself, though. So, like, that's a beautiful thing. I can sit in my shit, that's for sure, and play poor me, but I've wasted a long time doing that already in my life, and I don't want to live like that today. I don't really know what I want to say about forgiveness, but compassion, almost like empathy, like I feel if one of the people that I love is going through something and I can't fix it for them, I feel helpless. And I see solutions and I want to control the situation. I want them to solve the situation the way I would do it most of the time. But it's become crazy because I remember when I first got here, we would talk about people and it wasn't usually in the nicest way and take people's inventory. But like today, it's not like that. It's truly out of care and concern for others. And I have to be very diligent with that a lot of times, especially if I'm not okay with myself, because it's real easy to look at what everybody else is doing, or at least it has been. But I'm super, super grateful that I've been able to, you know, just worry about myself, because what anybody else thinks of me is really none of my business. You know, I'm just like everybody else, trying to get another freaking day clean and figure out life. So, I lost my mom and my dad since I've been clean. And one of my sponsees recently was talking about her mom getting sick. And it just reminds me that I'm supposed to be here to share my experience, no matter how hard it is to do. But we can suffer together and come out on the other side without getting high, hopefully. God willing, or if we're willing. I don't know, guys, I'm really, really, really tired. I looked up definitions. I'm not gonna share very long. I wanna thank again the committee for asking me to speak. And I'm just grateful that we're all here for another year at this magical place. And that's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you, Christina. It's okay. Okay. All right. Thank you, Christina. I would like to introduce our second speaker, Carl F. from Recovery in the End.
My name's Carl, and we're grateful for coming out of recovering disease with addiction. First and foremost, I always want to thank God for this opportunity. And I'm a very loud, passionate speaker, and I'm very enthusiastic because the disease of addiction is louder than my passion and my enthusiasm. It wants me to think, right? I don't share no we statements, right? I always keep the focus on I. Because, like, at the end of the road, I'm going to take it like to the end of the road. I'm going to try to stay on topic because I'm a scatterbox, right? My mind's somewhere else, right? But I'm truly grateful for this opportunity to even be asked to share, because I remember, like, there was a time, right, when nobody wanted me around. There was a time, like, when nobody wanted me in their house, when nobody wanted me to show up at their funeral. No, nobody wanted me to show up for anything because of my drug addiction. Took me to some animalistic levels. Mm-hmm. Right? I remember, right, they're talking about forgiveness, right? But I'm gonna take you through the pain, and I'm gonna get into the topic, right? And the compassion for others, right? But I'm gonna talk about, like, at a young age, right? When my cousin bent me over the motherfuckers, but the bed, and started pumping his dick in me and shit. And it was just grinding. I felt his bones just grinding on the back of my legs, man. And it did something to me. I could remember when like my cousin, right? He did that to me. I remember that I had no empathy. I had no compassion. I had no forgiveness. I just had hate in my spirit. And I remember at that young age, man, is that little boy, I know for now that stuff ain't normal. That stuff ain't supposed to happen to an 8-year-old little kid trying to form his identity out there in the world. He don't even know who he is when he's growing up, and that stuff happened to me, man. Come on, bro. Talking about going back and searching for that scared little boy, right? But coming into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous was a compulsive liar my whole life, right? Always hid behind the image and ego, and always dressed up the outside when the inside was dying. But I didn't want to let you in. I didn't want you to come close to me to hug me, because I thought that you wanted to try to fuck me. If you was another man, keep it 5 feet away from me. Don't come up to me, don't hug me. I don't want to talk to you. I hated myself, man, on a deeper level. That's why I continue to, sometimes to this day, I continue to dress up the outside, because the inside is terminally hip and fatally cool. So I got to dress the outside to portray, to get you to believe that I'm okay with myself, but at the end of the day, I'm not okay. That's why I put this nice shit on. So I'm talking about, like, at that young age when they left me in that crack house, right? And my mom and dad was in there smoking, right? And they continued to smoke, right? Like a broken stove when it's broke. At the end of the road, what my grandmother told me, and I believe everything my grandmother says, because she never told me a lie, right? She told me that they ripped me out of a crack house when I was 2 days old. So at that moment, right, like when that stuff had happened to me, right, when my cousin did them things to me, right, that I always ran for any problem, any situation that showed up in life. I always wanted to have the mask to portray somebody that I really wasn't, right? A gangbanger, a head of an organization in Maryland, right? A hip boy, a jack boy, a dope boy, right? But at the end of the road, right, I was in the house, right, and smoked all the work up, right? Look, I don't know about you. I don't know what it was like for you. This is my turn to share, so I'm going to share my experience, strength, and hope on this topic to the best of my ability. But I remember in that house, right, with that utter desperation setting into that house, I remember taking that first hit. They ain't say that it was going to be my last hit. I remember, right, every time I tried to get on with a crack stem, I remember every time I tried to put that stuff in me, all that will resurface is what that guy did to me. Why did he do that? Why did he molest me? Why did he hurt me? So I hid that So I hid that pain for so long, right? And coming into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, we're getting a sponsor, but I need to tell you, like, when I showed up, right, in 2005 in the streets of Baltimore, Maryland, right, that, like, I was living dirty, right, inside the fellowship. I was hustling. I was going to meetings to get with the newcomers, right. I had no compassion. I didn't even know what forgiveness looked like. I didn't even know what forgiveness felt like. I didn't know how to shit. I didn't know even know how to display, right? Display even compassion, concern, empathy. None of those things I knew how to display. So I remember, right, when I tried to get clean, right, why it wasn't working, because it wasn't working because y'all was telling me to get a sponsor. Don't get the home girl. Don't take her in the woods of the retreat. Don't take her in the woods of in the convention bathrooms, right? Stop being up inside the hotels with all the newcomers. That's my story. Always running from the image, man. People pleasing. So did you ever when you were sitting in that house, check it out. I'm gonna say this one time. You remember sitting in that house telling yourself that you're going to stop using. Then you go to the mirror, and then you look in the mirror and you tell yourself, this shit is really killing me. I think I got a problem. How do I stop using? They told me when I got here, right? It like, lady, listen, if you don't bring the love, I bring the love. If you don't give me a hug, I'll give you a hug. What is a hug? Right, a hug is help us grow spiritually. That's what a hug means. So we embrace each other's pain in Narcotics Anonymous, right? So when that guy met me at the door, right, and I had some willingness to change, right, and I started to build some self-esteem up and some courage, right, and go to another man and ask that man, will you sponsor me? So I show up at this weird town called Washington, Pennsylvania.
Come on, Carl.
But I was the weirdo, though, right? I was the guy, right, that always judged you based on how you share, because you didn't share loud and enthusiastic and passionate like I did. But later down the road, right, I started to develop some compassion, some understanding for that, like, everybody ain't my flavor, and that's okay. I'm God's flavor. My God might not be your God, but that's okay. So I took some time, right, to sit down with this man, right, after searching him and searching and trying to search for what wasn't there. Why I picked my sponsor? My sponsor's a bookworm. Listen, newcomer, when I got here, right, when I got here, I couldn't read. I couldn't identify with what y'all was saying about, like, you wasn't in the streets. You wasn't laying people down in the ground and taking all their money out their pockets. I wasn't identifying with you talk, listen, I wasn't identifying with nothing what you had to say, because I compared too much of what you look like, what you dress like. But at the end of the day, I would have been tricking with a train. At the end of the road, I knew that I was on the way to be tricking with a transgender in a McDonald's bathroom at any point in my life, because it was going down that road, man. So I remember sitting down with this guy, one of my sponsors. I always say my sponsor is Joey P, is sponsored by George J. And I have a wonderful sponsorship family. He sat down with me, and I'm here to tell you, right, when I got to, because I don't endorse, I know the tradition, I don't endorse no treatment centers, I don't do that. I don't put names on, I just say a center or a treatment center, right? So check it out. So I get to this place, right, where I show up with some Air Force Ones, right, talking about, listen, I already got feet fungus, I'm going to tell you that. The shoes were stinking so bad that I had to tie it up in two grocery bags for them to stop stinking. And the stink, the smell came out the bags, and they were like, yo, them shoes got to go, man. Them things are stinking the whole dormitory up, man. What are you doing? So I knew that I wasn't tough, right? Because I knew, y'all had told me when I got here, right? This is what y'all told me when I got here. Y'all told me that like, yo, Carl, you're not tough. Really deep down on the inside, like, you're a shaky, insecure little boy. You're doing little boy things. You're not a grown man. Grown man, like, I believe in what my grand sponsor always says, and like, people get offended by this, but it's not that, like, he always says, like, grown men don't sleep in twin beds. I remember in my grandmother's house, I always slept in a twin bed and lived off my grandma's titty. My grandmother always gave me everything, and I continue to always destroy her. I remember at the end of the road, right, grabbing my grandmother up, she's 5'4", and putting her on a wall, telling her, they're gonna kill me if I don't get one. I don't know what it was like for you. So, at the end of the road, check it out, right? At the end of the road, I joined this deadly organization, right? Back in 2000. So I joined this organization, right? And I'm wondering why I'm always the guy, right? Check it out. I'm always the guy that's putting in all the work, but I'm always going to solitary confinement. Always in the hole. Always in the hole. Always putting in work. Putting in work, right? So I remember getting there, right, and telling myself that I wasn't going to join the organization. I was just going to rock out by myself. But I believe that there was unity, right? And this goes along with the story because it's my story, right? When you get a turn to share your story, you share your story.
That's right.
Don't share my story because nobody might not want to hang with you. I'm about to get deep in here. So by doing that, check it out, by doing that, right? By doing that, joining that organization, I'm not going to endorse their name, right? By joining that organization, I couldn't never remove the mask, right? I never knew how to remove the mask. I always, like, perpetrated a fraud, right? I continue to be a fraud. So, I would go down and put some work in and then go back to the hole, right? And then I would get out and I would always say, like, I'm going to stop using, like, I want to stop using, but I would always, that was phony, man. I can't express it no more than, like I didn't know how to live, man. I remember, like, when I grabbed my grandmother up when I got out of the penitentiary, right, and put her on the wall and told her that, like, she needs to give me money because the black guys in Baltimore are going to kill me. But it was always a lie, man. I couldn't shake. Listen, it says out this how it works. My spine, I'm not as good as my sponsor. So trust me. I don't have to be though. It's what it said. This is how I carry on message, right? It says, developing a personal style for carrying the message, rest on the simple requirement, must be ourselves, right? Some of us have a remarkable talent for telling the truth. No, we must be ourselves, right? We each have a special one-of-a-kind personality sure to be attracted to many. Some of us have a sparkling sense of humor, which may reach an addict in despair, right? Yeah, reach someone in despair. Some of us are especially warm in capacity and able to reach an addict who has rarely been the recipient of kindness. Some of us have a remarkable talent for telling the truth in no uncertain terms to an addict literally dying to hear it. That's all that story, right? So check it out, right? So I'm gonna get into the solution, right? I'm talking about showing up at that place, right? Showing up at that place, right? But building this network, so when I got with this guy, right, my sponsor, Joey P, sat me down, right? He took me through the literature. I remember getting here, newcomer. I would try to read, right? And I would pick how it works up and the traditions, and I would read that stuff, right, Frank? And what it did to me, and I would blurt out the words, and y'all would continue to love on me. And there's some people here right now that knows that, like, when I got here, I could not read. And I thought that y'all was different because y'all had some skills, but really deep down inside, I was jealous of y'all because y'all had degrees. Y'all was going to school. Y'all was doing the work. You was getting the blessings, and I wasn't getting blessed. But they said, what'd they say? My sponsor told me, he said, the people that do the work get the freedom. He said, Carl F., how free do you want to be? He said, the people that are doing the work is getting the freedom. They're going back to school and getting their degrees. It's not saying that you can't go back to school and get a GED. I remember that, like, showing up at that place where this guy, he sat me down. He said, you know why you can't stay clean? Because you can't take your ego out your butt and give it to God. That humbled me. Right? So I'm talking about moving. They always say this, the couch story, right? Check it out. This is how I met my significant other. I was being a bum. I had no compassion for nobody, man. I was going to treatment centers and picking up girls. Check it out, right? Until my flavor walked in the door, right? I heard her share, and I was like, she's the one. But I didn't know there was going to be some work to come behind that. I didn't know that there was going to be some work that had to be done in order to secure this relationship, right? I did not know that I always thought like 1,000 girls, 1,000 different ways. I didn't know one girl, 1,000 different ways, right? I didn't know that. I couldn't shake that, man, because I remember my mom and them, and like there was no dysfunction. It was a dysfunctional home inside my household, right? So my girl, I heard her share, and I was like, kind of my intentions and motives was not pure. So I come to her house, and she's dating this guy, and like that's where the compassion I had none, because I slept with her, and she still was going with this guy. But I was always the guy, like, I'm going to get me one, and after the nut, then what? There's some work to do after the nut. Right? I don't know how long I got to share, but I'm going to share. So. So I got with this girl, right? And like, she was already doing the damn thing. She was already, like, enrolled in college. She had a son that has a mental health issue like I do, and like my mental health issues can get in the way, and I cannot have a lot of points in my life like where I gotta get on the telephone and I gotta secure the love and the fellowship, and I have to get on the phone and call these other human beings and allow them to tap into me so I don't tap out, right? So I remember carrying this couch in, lasting like 3 minutes and left. Told you, after the nut, then what? So, what had happened in the process of that, I remember the guy telling me, he's like, yo, you did this, you're on blackout, you're not allowed, you're done, you're staying in your hut. Go in your hut, you're on blackout for a couple days, this is what's going on. So I said, oh yeah? So manipulation, I don't know about you, but I know how to manipulate real good. So I got with my significant other. I knew there was work to do on myself, right? I went inside the sponsorship, the fellowship with no sponsor. I didn't have a sponsor. I didn't know how to communicate with people because I had a resentment because I did a stabbing them in York, Pennsylvania. I got locked up. So I have resentment against everybody in the state of Pennsylvania because I thought y'all were rats and weird. But really, I was a weirdo. So how was I going to seek help if they sent me to Washington, Pennsylvania? How was I going to get help if I didn't put my pride and ego to the side and allow a loving and caring fellowship, allowing a loving, caring God come into my life, right? And so I started to... not all the time. That's why I'm like, yo, why they give me this topic? Like, I'm not the compassionate person, man. I'm not. Because I struggle with that. Right? I'm talking about, listen, give one my girl, right? But the blessing was I lived with her baby's dad for 9 months clean and didn't put my hands on her. I was able to sit down with this other person and have a communication with him and let him know that, like, yo, I'm not here to hurt you, but like, what can we do for our son and how we can get better? And sometimes I'm not always good in that side of that, like being a father figure to a child. I believed it. Like, I look at him like he's mine, but, you know, and like I never had someone to show me compassion at all, man, or compassion for other people's feelings. I didn't know how to display that. So what had happened is there were some notes being slipped under the door. I'm not trying to, like, draw the whole story out. But there were some notes. She lived in a home where, like, it couldn't have guys on there if you wasn't on the lease, right? So what had happened is people in the fellowship came to the apartment complex, right? And they got me on the lease, man. And like, the truth of the reality of it is, like, yo, I can say today that I'm living the program, man. I'm not stepping outside my relationship. I'm not seeking attention to... There was points in my life. Don't get it twisted. Check it out. There was points in my life where I was in, like, Narcotics Anonymous and conventions, right? And I was traveling, right? And I was getting girls' phone numbers and stuff, right? And check it out, right? My girl went through the phone. If you want to hide something, don't hide it in your phone. And leave your phone around. And she picked the phone up, right? And what she seen in the phone, Frank, right, was not what I was supposed to be doing. So, you know, going back, right, and looking at all that chaos and confusion that I caused, you know, throughout the years, inside of my relationship, but having this little boy, man, like the little boy, right? He needs love, man. A lot of times I don't know how to communicate with him. I holler and scream at him, and I'm telling my story, man. Because that's how I was parented. I was always screamed. Like, I know today that aggression nothing gets solved with aggression. Because nobody wants to hear somebody screaming and yelling. My sponsor said, display love. And Frank said, he always used to tell me, he said, a kid needs a lot of love, man. Tolerance, patience, right? For them running all over the house, he can't cope with his feelings and emotions, man. It makes me sad, man. Because I remember being like that little boy growing up, right, at my grandmother's house, doing all the same things that he's doing. So God said, look, he said, I got something for you. He said, I got a gift. And it's wrapped in a big package. And it's the same as you was when you was a little kid. So I continue, like, listen, man, I got blessed, right? Like in the field I'm in, my girl is sheriff. She's like, listen, man, I work in construction, right? So I go on a job, right, and I just listen to what they tell me to do, right? I practice compassion, right, and at the job site, right? But I have an understanding, like, first thing you got to do is you got to know how the tools work, right? You got to go to the job, pick the tools up, fuck some stuff up inside the job and get yelled at a little bit, and then you'll eventually know how to use the tools, right? And but on the outside of that, I never mess something up. It's always my low self-worth and low self-esteem get me to that level where I just shut down. I don't know if y'all know what I'm talking about. Like, just wanting to, did y'all ever just like shut down and just don't want to be around nobody, man? And don't want people in the fellowship calling your phone because they see something, what you're going through, and you're not, you're trying to get to your truth and what you're going through and your feelings, express your feelings, right? So I just come home and sometimes I don't understand, like, yo, if I wake up 4:30 in the morning, right? And I wake up and like I have to get up because I was never a provider. I lived off of women, man. Women bought me Jordans. They bought me shoes because I thought I was slinging the dick good. But I only last 3 minutes when I get clean, so I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. That's my story, for real. So by like coming home at nights, man, where as though like I'm trying to display this level of understanding, this empathy, this love for this little boy that, and you know, it's not his fault that he was born like this, but I don't want to raise him like I was raised. I don't want him to be like me. Because if he is, he's headed for a road of destruction. I want this little boy, man, to understand that, like, I'm always going to be there for him. And I got to practice that more, right? And not just, like, I'm trying to get to a point in my life. Like, there's going to be points in your life that, like, where you might not always live what you share. I don't know if you understand that, right? So, listen. I do a lot of service in the fellowship, right? I'm a part of program committee out in Unity is a Muscovitch committee. We started on Zoom, but we just borrowed the platform, so it's Narcotics Anonymous. So when the pandemic hit, a bunch of addicts got together. And they started a meeting. And they started the first convention on the Zoom platform, right? Which was held in Columbus, Ohio, right? So like, by doing service to me, gets me out. Hey, listen, I don't care. I'm going for the people that has a year or 2 years, and I'm gonna ask you to share, man, because I remember I'm telling you, there was points in my life where as though, yo, nobody wanted me around to talk to me, be around me, to hear me out, what I'm saying, what I'm trying to get through them. There was points in my life where I didn't have no purpose or I didn't understand. I didn't know what I was going to do. So this service, like right now, right, I got to go after here and I got to go in the woods and try to find a signal. Because I got a chair at 7 o'clock tonight. But I took a commitment on it. So I got to stay loyal to that commitment. And listen, they've been calling me since I had like 15 months clean to share. Like I had to tell, like, yo, the truth of the reality is this shit feels good, but it don't feel good when you tell the truth. Right? Because people judge. It's in our nature to judge. I'm not saying we, I'm just saying, like, I know people, like, listen, we judge. That's it. That's all I'm going to say is we one time. And like, so, like, doing this service, right, gets me, I'm going to shut down with this. Sometimes doing this service even causes, like, traveling conventions, right, check it out. When I don't even have a license, but I'm trying to go get the license. So last night, right, I took the driving test on a PA app test, the driving test, and I failed, got 79%. I don't know how you comprehend, but I got to keep failing. I got to keep going through the process. I got to keep, you know, failing in order to be, to achieve that. Because I gotta tell myself I can and I will, because if I don't tell myself I can and I will never have none of those things. So I gotta go in there tonight and do service really when I wanna just enjoy it. Cause listen, I never been to a spiritual retreat in my life, right? It's just the most spiritual thing that I ever experienced, man. This right here, this people quiet, people coming up to people, hugging each other, telling they love you, we believe in you. Getting exchanging phone numbers, because this would I'm gonna get phone numbers when I leave here, because that's what I do, man. This is what y'all taught me to do, right? Because I'm on three programming committees, right? And I'm gonna shut it down with this, right? Because I don't know how to display compassion when you're always picking. It's nothing against color. I'm from Baltimore. Check it out. Listen. When you're picking one color to share at a convention or a spiritual retreat, that's not practicing this, that's disunity. That's not the diversity. So I joined committees, right, to piss people off. For real. Because I put diversity into the committee. And if you feel some type of weight, laugh again. I joined committees to piss people off when I see they're doing that. Make you all salty. Oh, man. Listen, that's what I do, man. Because I know the program. I know that the addict coming in, they might have guidelines, 3 years of sharing all that, but check it out. I know the addict coming in with 1 year clean has a message. Picking up that key tag, glows in the dark, you turn the light down. Yes, it does glow in the dark. And when your ass on fire, bring yourself to a meeting and your sponsor, if you turn the light down, your sponsor might be able to find you. Right? Because it does glow in the dark. And I'm truly honored and grateful for this opportunity to share on this level of service, because I believe this is and like I said, man, I don't always say like I'm going to open arms area, but I really want to focus more on getting that license, because like I know, like, listen, I'm talking about feeling a burden, right? Getting a ride to work from grown men. From grown men. That ain't what grown men do, man. Getting a ride to work from another grown man. My boss is like, he just shared at the 9:30 meeting. He said, yo, when are you going to get your license? So last night I was plugging away, man. I was taking action. I was on the speaker jam, but I turned it down, and I was going through them questions, because I'm going to do this. Listen, and I'm truly, truly grateful and honored to be at a Narcotics Anonymous spiritual retreat. I'm spiritually refreshed, and glad to be alive. My name is Carl, and I'm an addict, so I got.
I'd like to thank our speakers for sharing their